Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 2009 Q1 Results Release Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, the 13th of May, 2009. I would now like to hand the call over to your speaker today, Mr. Molina. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today to this conference of the first quarter results of 2009. Thanks for your interest in Almirall. This is Jordi Molina, Investor Relations. Joining us today, we have Eduardo Sánchez, CFO, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Dr. Anderson, Chief Scientific Officer. Now I hand over to Eduardo for the opening remarks. At the end of the addressment, there will be a Q&A session.
Okay. Good afternoon to everyone. I would like to share with you some of the highlights of the financial performance in the first quarter of 2009. I think in summary, it can be said that the first quarter has been a good quarter in terms of sales, profits, and cash flow evolution. They have been also very much in line with the expectations that we set for the whole year 2009. Sales have grown by 2.8%, very much driven by the international growth. EBITDA has grown by 8.5%, and normalized net income by 8.8%. Also, cash flow generation has been very good, with a total free cash flow of 57.3 million, despite the fact that we have also paid in excess of 25 million in debt cancellation during the first quarter. The net income has been helped by the extraordinary sale of some non-core products in Spain, which again have taken place in the first quarter. Thanks to that, the net income has grown by 41% in the first quarter of the year. With all that, we feel comfortable maintaining the guidance that we provided for the whole year. I would like also then to share and to touch base on some other news that we have been releasing lately. First of all, on financial aspects, you probably are aware by now that there has been a new law approved by the Spanish government as of the end of March, by which the tax incentives on R&D, which were meant initially to expire by the end of 2011, have been extended beyond 2012. There are certain new conditions that also apply, but overall, this is extremely positive news for our industry and certainly for our company. This is a relevant event for the first quarter. Secondly, there have also been an agreement between the Spanish Ministry of Health and the Spanish Pharmaceutical Association, by means of which the Spanish government agrees to maintain a stable legal framework in exchange for commitments on maintaining R&D investment, employment, et cetera, and exports in the pharmaceutical sectors. I think those two news are relevant because they provide, again, a more stable framework in these turbulent times. Secondly, when it comes to corporate developments, also a few highlights. One is to indicate that the company has been very active over the last months. You may have noticed that basically over the last six months, we have signed three in-licensing agreements for Spain. One related to an anti-diabetic compound, sitagliptin, with Merck Sharp & Dohme. The second one with Pfizer on Astucor, a combination product. The third one with Italian company Recordati on silodosin. Just last week, we also announced a significant pan-European in-licensing agreement on a product called linaclotide, and my colleague, Per-Olof Andersson, is going to touch base on that in a moment. Altogether, as I said, good quarter, reiteration of the financial guidance for the whole year, significant activity when it comes to corporate development priorities, and we continue in that sense in corporate development to maintain a high focus on partnering our key pipeline products and continue to pursue new in-licensing opportunities as well as selected potential acquisitions. With that, let me pass the word to my colleague, Luciano Conde.
Thank you, Eduardo. Good afternoon. I would like to provide you with a short summary on operations. Overall, we have had a positive evolution, growing 2.8% during the first quarter of the year. Although general pharma market conditions in January and February were not positive, the top 10 products of the company show solid growth of +6.7%, reaching the figure for the first quarter of 159 million euros. Our main product, Ebastel, Kestin, saw solid robust growth of +22%. In Spain, the growth was +17%, and we did have positive trends in most countries, including Japan, where the allergic season has been intense, albeit short. Although we continue to push successfully Prevencor, Atorvastatin, to €29.2 million. Esercia, escitalopram, is now the leading antidepressant in the market in Spain in values and has surpassed the 20,000 doctors prescribing it. Good evolutions of Parapres and Opiren, and some disappointment with the sales of the Bupal, Belafaxin. We are still analyzing the situation, but we believe it's due to two effects. Launch of copy products with relevance in some territories which have eroded our sales, and readjustments of stock at wholesaler level following the introduction of the copy products and the confusion created around that. We believe this to be a temporary effect since our IMS sales are superior to our internal sales, signaling a destocking of the wholesalers. The launches of the new products Tesavel, Sitagliptin and Astucor have evolved as expected. Last but not least, welcome Solaris in our top 10 products. With an impressive growth of plus 54% despite the impact of the pound depreciation, as you know, this is one of our key derma brands. We have applied for reimbursement in several territories during the first quarter, and we are finalizing the preparation of the third wave mutual recognition procedures, which will include Spain and Poland in the markets of Solaris. In Spain, audited market growth for the overall pharmaceutical companies were 3.4%, slowing down from 2008. And we have outpaced the market, and our audited January-March growth has been 3.7%. Reference prices were applied in March as expected, and the impact has been aligned with the guidance we provide for the year. Relevant growth has been attained in Italy, UK and Germany, although in general we have appreciated a more cautious ordering from wholesalers, and in some cases we have decided to adjust volume supply due to uncertainties associated with the overall credit and financial situation. We keep looking into the optimization of our assets, and we have taken action in France, have proceeded to negotiate the closing of our manufacturing plant there. I can announce here that the process of dismissal is completed as per now, bringing the number of pharmaceutical plants in the group down to 3. As conclusion, we believe we are on track to comply with the guidance we have provided, albeit general market conditions have been a little bit tougher than anticipated. And with this, I would like to pass the turn to my colleague in R&D, Perol Fabus.
Thank you, Luciano, and good afternoon. So let me start with some of the key events in R&D during the first quarter. First, as we have explained in press releases with regard to actinium bromide, we have received feedback on the ACLAIM phase 3 data from both the US FDA and from EU regulators. And we've also got an input from these regulators on our proposed plan moving forward. This has now allowed us to agree with our U.S. partner Forest and to design a new plan to address these views. The initial parts of this plan have now started and further studies are planned. We will keep you updated through the websites as appropriate on these developments. As we have mentioned, we are now targeting a filing end of 2011 or beginning of 2012, both for Europe and the US. And then next week at the American Thoracic Society, we will present the full phase 3 data from both the ACLAIM studies as well as additional clinical, as well as preclinical data, and also data on the performance of the Genuair device. This will then be followed by further presentations at the European Respiratory Society meeting in September. And as I said before, we will announce progress of the development on the clinical trial websites. Our other major respiratory project is our once-daily long-acting beta agonist, LAS-10977. Here we have recently completed a third phase 2A study with excellent results, confirming, first of all, once-daily duration of action, but also a very competitive efficacy and tolerability profile. And we have now confirmed the dose range that we need to move into phase 2B for asthma, and this will also form the basis for the COPD program. So Overall, this leaves us with a very full respiratory development pipeline with Actinium in phase 3, the Formoterol combination product in phase 2b, as well as the recently mentioned once-daily long-acting beta agonist. As for the rest of the pipeline, as has been communicated by GW Pharma, Sativex achieved positive results in the complementary phase 3 study for MS spasticity, and GW is filing during this quarter. As you know, for this product, we have the rights in Europe, with the exception of the UK. As just mentioned by Eduardo Sanchez, we in-licensed linaclotide. We are very pleased with this in-licensing of a first-in-class agent for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or abbreviated IBS-C. This licensing is for Europe, and we are looking forward now to bring this product to the European patients. This is an area of a high unmet medical need. Ironwood will here initiate the phase 3 program for IBS-C during this year, and we will come back with more details on this program once we have a chance to review this in detail with Ironwood. Finally, in the dermatology portfolio, the most important event during this year is the results of an ongoing phase 3 trial for our combination product for non-melanoma skin cancer, and if positive, the filing of this product towards the end of this year. With that, I'm finished, and I'd like to hand over back to Jordi Molina. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Back to you, Michelle, please, for the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Joe German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, good afternoon, everyone. A couple of questions, if I can. If I can start off with a couple of financials and then R&D. Eduardo, I wonder if you could give us just a little bit of help understanding some of the differences in your financials between net income and normalized net income for the quarter. Clearly, you had that one-off gain from the product divestment, but I think there might be, it looks like there's probably a few other things ongoing in there. And also then just on the tax longer term, clearly at the moment you've got a very nice sort of mid-single digit tax rate. Now looking at 2012, do you believe that it will be, you'll be able to maintain it at about that type of level, or is it going to still sort of edge up more towards the corporate tax rate? Can you give us a little bit of help in where we go with that? And then just on R&D, on Actinium, I mean, clearly you're moving forward now with the monotherapy. What I'm curious about is, I think back in sort of October time last year, you sort of gave some rough guidance that the combination Actinium and Formoterol, we should look at that coming to market sort of a year, 18 months or so after the monotherapy. I'm wondering whether that's still a sensible sort of assumption for us to be making, or is there any way now, as you're going to have to do sort of large single Actinium monotherapy trials as part of that combination in phase 3, can the sort of monotherapy and that combination sort of move forward much closer together and sort of help each other through that process? I wonder if you could give us a little bit of color on that. Thank you. I'll stop there.
Okay, thank you. Let me start perhaps with the financial questions. First of all, in terms of the difference between the net income and the normalized net income, it's basically the impact of what you see in the document, in the income statement, a sale of non-current assets, which includes primarily mostly the sale of those non-core products in the Spanish organization. There are a couple of also other minor effects, but the big one by far is that one, and that has been also reduced by the tax impact specifically assigned to those activities. So that's how you basically end up with the 14.3 million of difference between the net income and the normalized net income. When it comes to the tax effect, you're right that in the past we have been enjoying a very good effective tax rate situation in the single digits. As we indicated, that situation was dependent upon two factors. One of them was the total amount of R&D, and the second factor was basically the incremental R&D from year to year. Obviously, once we have reached certain levels of R&D, we will not be able to benefit of the second factor that influences the tax rate. In that sense, while still enjoying very positive reduced effective tax rate, that probably will not be in the coming years as you know, as significantly low as it was in 2007-08. I think that after we get, or after 2012, the situation, as far as we know, because there's still some details are missing in the implementation of the, sorry, in the way the law is written and the reglement that will come with that, basically we believe that the key elements will be maintained. There may be certain conditions that may change when it comes, for instance, to how much R&D you do outside the European Union and things like that, but we still believe that it will be very positive and it should allow us to reduce very significantly the overall corporate tax rate, which as of today is still 30%. So overall, bottom line is that we feel optimistic that we will be able to greatly benefit from this measure beyond 2012, and in between now, 2009 and 2012, we would expect to still enjoy very low effective tax rates, although they may not be in the single digits. On the R&D side,
yes, yes. So let me try to explain where we are. And I think, Joe, that you're quite accurate in your prediction. We have not given a formal filing date for the promoter combination, but there will be a delay between the two products, and I think your guess is within that range accurate.
So is there no sort of possibility to actually sort of get the monotherapy approved as part of the combination, essentially, to try and sort of accelerate that process? Is that something that would just involve too much initial work?
Well, there are two components, as you know, with regard to the approval of these type of products. One is the actual product and the other one is the device.
Sure.
And so we have always said that we want to be careful with regard to the prediction, especially in the U.S., of the time for approval, and so therefore we think it's in our best interest to file initially the monotherapy product to get the device part of this out of the way, so to say, and obviously we now will take as much advantage as we can of the ongoing new studies with the monotherapy program to add that data into the combination program. So even if timelines have not will be as you suggest, we will obviously benefit from the changes now of minimizing as much as possible the clinical program.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Veronica Dubahova from Laboratorio Samaral. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Veronica Dubahova-Kong from Goldman Sachs here. A couple of questions, if I can. First, in gross margin, very impressive improvement this quarter. I was hoping you could comment on what drove this improvement and how we should be thinking about gross margin modeling going forward. And second, quite a significant increase in your accounts receivable. Could you clarify what drove that? Thank you.
Okay, this is Eduardo. Let me try to take on both of your questions. I mean, already 2 years ago during the IPO, we indicated that we had some plans to try to improve our gross margins. One of them was to start using some raw materials from low-cost countries, and actually we started to implement that already during 2008. Thanks to that, we were able to reduce by the end of 2008 our cost of goods, or in other words, to improve our gross margin percent on sales by 2 percentage points. I'm afraid that the effect that we have seen in the first quarter of this year is more of a temporary effect. We have got a very beneficial mix of products in our selling portfolio during the first part of the year. This is again the quarter as well as the month of April where we have a lot of Avastin sales, our antihistaminic, and being one of our own products, obviously the cost of goods is significantly lower. than some other products, particularly in licensed products. So there is still a bit of an effect of improvement in gross margin, but the majority of the effect was due to mix in the first quarter of the year, and we should be seeing the rest of the year that we go more into the sort of numbers that we had in 2008. We may see a little bit of an improvement, but it should not be as marked as what we have seen in the first quarter. When it comes to accounts receivable, you're absolutely right. We have seen a significant increase in the amount of accounts receivable during the quarter. This is significantly temporary. Basically, in the case of having a substantial amount of the money related to the sale of this group of products in Spain that we have sold to a third party, and based on the payment schedule that was agreed with them, basically that amount of money is still in our books as of the end of March and basically will be disappearing progressively. Also, because of the effect I just mentioned of the sales of Avastin and the seasonality linked to that, we also take some actions with wholesalers, and we ensure that the supply and that the channel is very well filled to take full advantage of the season. So that also creates a temporary effect on accounts receivable. So we should see that the figure going down in the second quarter and definitely also in the third quarter.
Great, thank you very much.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance today, and have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.